Please be seated. So I wonder what it would be like to hear that story that we just heard, that I just recited to you. I wonder what it would be like to hear that story for the first time. I wonder whether there's anyone here who has. I won't put you on the spot and saying, have you heard that story before? What do you make of it? But listening to it, we've heard it before many times, and I'm sure those of us who have heard it many times and remember it have that sort of tensing inside. I do, especially if I have to talk about it. Oh no, it's the story of the Syrophoenician woman, where Jesus doesn't seem to be acting like Jesus. What's going on here? Has he called her a dog? Has he said, your child is a dog? Let's back up a second and just try and contextualise what's going on here. In those days, and in the Middle East today, and in many parts of the world, dogs are not regarded favourably. Not like us, who, you know, we love dogs and we have them as pets and things like that. In many parts of the world, dogs are pests. They scavenge. They're dirty. They're mangy. They're inbred. They're a hazard. They're a pest. And so to compare someone to a dog is not complimentary. Furthermore, you should know that in those days, it was a common term of reference, a common insult for Jews to refer to non-Jews, Gentiles, as dogs. And so here is Jesus speaking to a Gentile woman, Syrophoenician, which means that she's Phoenician, which is the same group of people as was Goliath, that's in the story of David and Goliath. He was a Philistine, but that was all those sort of area, Philistines, Phoenicians. Today we might call her a Palestinian. She was a Syrophoenician, so she was coming from that part of Phoenicia, near Assyria, north of Libya, on the North African coast. She was a Phoenician. She was a Syrian. She was a Palestinian. She was not Jewish. And Jesus seems to have come out with this common saying, it's not fair to give the children's food to dogs. Why is he there? Let's back up and contextualize that. He's in a Gentile area. Now, the last thing we've heard in the Gospel of Mark is Jesus having a dispute with the religious authorities. And the last words that we've heard Jesus say are, it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. And he lists them. Fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within. And they defile a person. They defile a person. He's been having a discussion with the scribes and Pharisees about defilement and the fact that his disciples were not washing their hands in the prescribed manner, not doing it in the religious ritual way. And so he's taken issue with them and argued that actually it's not the externals that are so important, but it's what's going on in the heart. And then we're here in this reading, he goes away. It's almost like he's throwing up his hands. I've had enough. These people, they just don't get it. I need to take some time out. So he goes away, a long way away, to the region of Tyre, which is a Gentile area. Not many Jews there. He's hoping perhaps that people won't know about him and he can go into a house alone. No one knows he's there. He's anonymous. And he takes stock and he can review, where is that? Why am I even here? He may be thinking. He may be saying. What have I come for? What am I doing? What is it all about? And then, Knock on the door. This woman's there. My little daughter, she's got an evil spirit. Come, lay your hands on her, please, please come. Can't get away. And we don't know the tone of his voice. We don't know why he said this terrible thing. And it is a terrible thing, and we mustn't diminish that. We mustn't soften it. Let the children be fed first. And then coming out with what I think was probably a common expression at the time. It's not fair to take children's food and throw it to the dogs. But she's not put off. She answers him as we heard. Lord. And the word in Greek is Lord, not Sir, as in the RSV. Lord. Even the little dogs, even the puppies under the table, eat the children's crumbs. And he knows he's been beat. She's come up with a perfect answer. He realizes that she's right. Of course. It's as if this woman, in her faith, and it is faith, she's heard about Jesus, and she believes that he can do something for her daughter. Whatever that was, whatever ailment she was suffering, whether it was epilepsy or whether it was some sort of mental illness, whatever, we don't know. But she believes that this man that she's heard about, this Jewish man, can help her. So she comes, like the woman who had the hemorrhages for 12 years. She comes to Jesus. She has courage, because after all, he is Jewish and she is a Gentile. She might get just the sort of rebuff that she gets. She is a woman, and he is a man. And in those days, it would be unusual, inappropriate, for a woman without her husband, perhaps without a husband at all, to come to this man and cast herself on his mercy. So she was courageous. And she was tenacious. She knew what she wanted, and she held on to it. So the woman, this Gentile woman, first of all, gives us an example of faith that involves courage. And it involves tenaciousness. And it involves persistence. Persistence is being repeatedly tenaciously courageous, or courageously tenacious. And what she does, if you notice, is remind Jesus of who he is. She reminds Jesus of who he is and what he stands for. In a sense, she is the answer to whatever it was he was looking for when he retreated from Galilee to the region of Tyre and Sidon. She reminds him of who he is and what he stands for. And it's a challenge to us, because it's an invitation for us also to be reminded of who we are and what we stand for. Who we are as Christians, who we are as followers of Christ, who we are as human beings, who we are in the midst of our life journey. What is it all about? And what is it all for? Reminds us of what we stand for. It's an invitation for us to remind ourselves of what we stand for as Christians. And in order to answer that, we have to answer the question, what is the gospel of Jesus Christ? What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? I'm tempted to say, come next Sunday afternoon to St. Anthony's and you'll find out. Do come to St. Anthony's next Sunday afternoon. But this question of what is the gospel seems to be a recurring one for me at this time. Maybe it's because I do perform the Gospels of Mark and John, and I'm constantly asking that question myself. What is the gospel here? What is the good news? But it's also a question that is sort of overarching my life and my preparation for things at St. Francis, especially sermons and new programs. What is the gospel? And it's a question that I would like to continually ask and continue to ask of us all, so that we may come to a greater consciousness of living the gospel life. Now this morning, if we ask the question, what is the gospel of Jesus? What was Jesus reminded of about himself and about what he stood for? Then I would say this. Jesus is reminded that he has come for all people. Yes, for his own people, the Jews first, because you start where you are. But he has come for all people. And it's a reminder to us that Jesus is for all people. That God loves all people and wants the best for all people. It's an invitation also, like Jesus, to look at our own attitudes and our own thoughts regarding others. Let the children be fed first. It is not fair to take the children's food, our food, and throw it to the dogs. Now, the thing about the dog, whether you like dogs or not, is, despite what you might sometimes think, they're not human. So, in a sense, referring to someone as a dog is denying their humanity. Now, we do that. We do that individually. We do that as nations. We especially do it as nations. What do you think borders are for? What do you think, you know, the CBSA is about, or the US Border Patrol? Don't take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. It's fine to have concern for one's own people. But if we have concern for our own people, to the point where we dehumanize other people, so that it becomes okay to separate the adult dogs from the puppies and put them in separate cages, just like they were dogs. Or if we insist that we're going to demand the rights for our workers, not their workers, well, isn't that a bit selfish? I mean, yes, we look out for our own interests, but wouldn't it be wonderful if there was a world where justice was for everybody? And that there wasn't a privilege because you happen to have Canadian citizenship already that meant that it was legitimate to deny rights to someone who doesn't have that citizenship, whose circumstances of life are different. So the good news of Jesus for us today is a reminder that Jesus is for all, and that God loves all, and that all have the invitation to grow and become children of God. It's also a reminder that as human beings, we do have natural attitudes and instincts that are prejudiced towards our own. And in a sense, we see that here with Jesus being prejudiced towards his own Jewish people. But as soon as that is exposed, as soon as a light is shone on that, he realizes that what the woman has said is true. And that is a human experience. And it's a human experience that I hope we've all had, where we've got to a point where we've realized our thinking on something, whether it's been examined or not, is wrong, is faulty. There's no other word for it. And we have to say, no, I don't any longer take that attitude or that view. I do not wish to subscribe to that. Sometimes, as I say, it's unacknowledged, and then it comes apparent, and we have to have the humility to face that and say, yeah, I am a sinner. This is part of me becoming who I am to become. To reject such attitudes and prejudices. What the woman did for Jesus and what the woman does for us through this story is open our ears. Open our ears to the truth. Open our ears to the truth of the good news of Jesus. And if our ears are opened, then perhaps our tongues can be loosened as well to declare that truth and to have the courage to declare that truth and the tenaciousness to declare that truth and the persistence to be tenaciously courageous and courageously tenacious in declaring the truth, so that we may all come to the place where God would have us be, and we all become the people that God would have us be.